Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to start the regular council meeting at Walton Hills of Tuesday, January 21st, 2020, at 7:09 p.m. Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If we can have a moment of silence for our deceased residents, Marjorie Colagros, Joyce Colacy, Marjorie Chep, Robert Whelan, Jackie Velk, William Falcon, and Peter Simone. Also, please pray for our active troops. Thank you. Roll call.
Councilperson Lindholm.
Present.
Reverend Miller.
Here.
Alley.
Here.
Chulowski.
Here.
Whedon.
Here.
Spitznagle.
Here.
All of council present, along with our fiscal officer, Katie Iconis, and our law solicitor, John Montello. Can I have a motion to receive and file council caucus minutes of January 21st, 2020?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to receive and file council caucus minutes of January 21st, 2020.
Second.
Councilperson Lindholm.
Yes.
Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Chulowski.
Yes.
Whedon.
Yes.
Spitznagle.
Yes.
Okay. Council caucus minutes passed. Any persons having business before council?
Greg Renner, 7271 Conley Boulevard. I know this is more of a Denny Hart question, I guess, because it's a quest that he's on, but I've never asked, what is happening with this stinking corner store?
The matter's in the Court of Appeals, the parties are submitting briefs to the court so they can determine if the owner has to repay the property or not. I can't really discuss the details about the lawsuits that are pending. I know you guys, that's just not what happened. There's a lawsuit going on. I apologize if that's, a lot of it's public record. You can pull up documents if you'd like and print them out. You can read what their arguments are. They can submit their argument on, actually, I'm reading as we speak, and January 17th. And so we have, I believe, 20 days to respond back. So we're working on a response.
And you could probably share, you did have the judicial.
Oh, yeah, we did have a. Well, that was not the parking lot issue, though. That was on the signage issues. And we did meet with the judge, and the judge is drafting a proposed settlement order, but she understands that the settlement should be. At this time, we can't discuss the terms of it because it's not finalized. But it should be finalized in the very near future. And you agree to do some things that will improve the appearance of the outside building, not the paving, but the signage issues.
They're two separate, as some of you know, they're two separate issues and two separate cases, basically, as far as I'm
concerned. Separate judges, actually. And one is determined by Judge Nakash, one. Judge Weiler is the one who is involved with the Court of Appeals case.
Which is the paving case.
Yes.
Another question I got to follow up.
Yeah.
Do I need to state my name?
Okay.
Now, is there any way that we could do the work to improve the appearance of the exterior or parking lot, and then assess him down the road when he sells? We can get our money back with whatever verbiage, interest, or whatever you work out with the guy. I mean, we could drag this thing, or he could drag it. It seemed like he's dragging this out like forever. I'll probably be dead and buried, and this place will still look like hell on me. So if there's anything we could do, and then put some taxes on to when he sells that property, or whenever that property transfers, then we get our money.
Well, right now we have some leverage in that he's been found guilty, he's been sentenced to, I don't know exactly, I think it's 6 months in jail. He's on probation with the judge. The judge has ordered him to repave it. And I don't know what stronger position we can put the village in. I mean, obviously we could fix it and assess it, but right now he's ordered to repair it. So that's the issue before the Court of Appeals.
So we want to follow that process.
So far, we're not gonna, I mean, if he would be, I don't know if he'd be willing to even do it. He doesn't think he should have to pave anything, or you know, he wants to use coal patch and do it himself, basically.
So we're going to follow the process, because we're in the process right now, you know.
So he has a threat of jail time hanging over him. And, you know, he did not appeal the finding of guilt in a timely manner. That trial occurred on July of 2018, and July 19th. So he did not appeal it within 3 days. He was supposed to appeal it. So now he's, you know, he's trying to undo the past, which I don't think he's going to be successful. But strange things have happened. What do I have? So we'll see what happens.
Come on up to the mic, then.
Denny Archive 7120 agreed. I wasn't going to say anything tonight, but since the subject came up, I suppose I can say what I know, because this morning I was in Garfield Court and I talked to the clerk of courts. The clerk of courts gave me a printout of what the judge's rulings were regarding that case at the present time. I know they were sent to Mr. Mason by mail. I saw that by reading the docket. You probably know that already.
I have not received
that. Well, then I know something maybe that you don't even know yet.
And that's possible. You know those by the way. They serve you electronically.
The docket said that it was sent to Mr. Mason by mail. Anyway, one of the conditions for resolution was that he has to either remove those signs, he's got to remove them, and replace them with ones that are professionally painted, or not put any signs up at all. And those are the signs that deal with the happy hour.
Well, we haven't actually entered this agreement yet, so I really don't feel comfortable discussing it in a public forum here. Can we allow the legal process to work itself out? I mean, I haven't even seen this document, you know. Not something that we can debate here. It's just whatever.
It's not something I want to debate.
I know.
We'll just leave it at that.
One of the proposed terms of agreement are that he can leave the Alaskan fish fry sign there with the permission to order. He does not serve an Alaskan fish fry in that restaurant.
He serves by proving that sign will look worse than it does now with the sign. I think that was the thought process. But I mean, I don't want to discuss the thought process because this isn't appropriate for him to do so. You know.
Well, I would plead with the village to not allow them to keep false advertising. When someone perceives an Alaskan fish fry, at least when I perceive an Alaskan fish fry, I think of something that you get at Cernan's, where you sit down with a nice bottle of beer and you get a real fish fry, and french fries and coleslaw. What he serves in that place is not an Alaskan fish fry. He even showed the judge what it is a frozen pollock Alaskan.
That's true. Okay.
Probably nobody cares. I don't care if nobody else cares. I care. The man is doing what is really false advertising at the present time. And I would plead with the village to not compromise on that particular point. You guys can do whatever you want, but I would appeal to you to not allow him to continue to keep that sign there, unless he really does serve an Alaskan fish fry. He also claims that it's a restaurant. I have never been in a restaurant that does not have a menu or prices or anything else. That place is not a restaurant. Further, the business with the holes in the parking lot, he claims that yellow tape with the asphalt by it is a tripping hazard. And he wants to keep that there because he feels that it's dangerous for people who might trip on the edge of that asphalt. But he overlooks the fact that the potholes in his parking lot are deeper than that, and some of the subject get hurt under the circumstances. I would plead with you guys to not take any more crap from this guy. You can do what you want, but that's what I'd like to see happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's more to, but that's enough.
Yeah, that's
enough. We're all in agreement.
We're all playing
on the same team. She did order him to get rid of the weeds, which she should have. And as far as the coal patch goes, the claim that that can't be removed, I don't know much about construction, but I can tell you right now, there's machinery that could walk right in there and plow that stuff up and dump it in the truck and get rid of it. I'm disappointed in you guys if you allowed it to keep that there, because our ordinance specifically says that no storage is allowed outside of a building like that. You guys can do what you want, but you know what I'm talking about. Thank you.
I'll just make a quick point without going to it. Me as mayor here, we've taken it along with this council. The furthest, it's gone. Okay, spent the most amount of money going through this. We have discussions about the parking lot, because it is in that appeal process, how we're going to move that on, and that, of course, probably have council there, because that will do with funding. But what I have, and I think this council has, is we asked, as all you know, our building department, our zoning inspectors, to pursue the law, along with our legal department, and we'll continue to do that. And that's what we can do, this body can do. We can't do any more than that, but to try to, and through the legal process, have any owner abide by our ordinances. And we will continue to follow that process through the legal system. Any other comment, residents?
Comments? Oh, on that, yeah. Tom Nowicki, 17612 Egbert. I'll only bring up one point per meeting, but just to throw this out, when you do the signs for the cell, we're going to have signs maybe, this is not the point I'm bringing up, signs saying for cell phone is a prime area. Like we have with the cameras, we have a sign warning them. The thought of maybe having that in the beginning of the big entrances, 4 or 5 inches of the village, that is a primary fence to. I don't know if you have to do that, maybe it's the right thing to do, or throw a fine in there. It would make people put their phone on, you know, Bluetooth. So a thought, that's for you guys to discuss. And the Planning Commission update on, real quick, 10 second answer because I have something else. Getting resumes or what, you brought that up last meeting.
Right.
What's happening, just short.
Mary, I think going to comment on that other business at the end
that's
of the
right.
meeting.
Okay.
Because there's some discussion with the interview process, so I was going to let her
comment. Yeah, that'll be fine then, okay.
As council president.
Gloria, the rec, you're the head of the rec committee and community life, correct? And who else is on your committee?
I believe Ryan and Denny.
Mary.
It's Brian and Mary. You're the chair.
I had a thought. I had two seniors call me up this week to help with odds and ends, 80s, and I'm glad to do it. And I thought, you know, I know our senior transportation bus takes people to their appointments, you know, when they call and arrange, and they help that out. I had the thought, and if we could maybe make that a committee meeting, and I would be glad to show up with your other two committee members, What can we do? We have 40% seniors in this village, close to 39%, whatever it is, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. One senior said, hey, can you shovel my front walkway and my front steps because they plowed the driveway and I'm having a third party? And he didn't have a shovel. So I guess a shovel. I left a shovel and all. Another person even needs something else. And I'm having the thought of maybe, there's a lot of different ideas I have, to get maybe either teens involved or young adults or college kids. And I'll just run a whole bunch of things that will probably come up at a committee meeting to have a list or something. We might have done something like that before in the past, or is it existing, or am I completely off?
Well, we have trash cans.
Trash cans, yeah.
Okay. Then residents were saying they're too big, I can't push them, right. Seniors. So there were some teenagers that set up a little business, so to speak, that they would go and bring the cans and take them. But I, from what I heard, it was absorbent, the money that they were charging the seniors to do that, like $20 or something each way, you know. So, but, you know.
That was about the extent.
And, you know, we don't have that many teenagers.
Well, we had, 3-4 years ago, I know we had 320 school-age kids in the village. We have 2,300 people, so you're talking whatever, 10, that short, small percent. But we do have that many. Here's a bunch of ideas I have. You know, of course, you have to get involved with waivers. You know, you fall under property. Nothing in the house, okay? And I'll throw a bunch of ideas, and this could be looked at later. Flyers to be given out at events. Put in the OWL in the journal. This is what we're thinking of doing. This is what we need. Do we need people? Do we have adults that want to get paid working money on the side? This would not have anything to do with plumbing, electrical in the house. That's all contracts. They have to register with the. I'm not talking about stuff like that. There's a lot of ways to get that word out. You can call other villages, townships, cities, see what they do, what they offer. This is just to gather if they can even do this, okay? Resident input can give it ideas. People might hear, might say, hey, what about this? We can gather info at committee meetings with people here. It might take 3, 4, 5 months to get this going where you might say, okay, we're ready in May to offer the seniors that will need their gardens weeded or just, and it have to be, you have to figure it out. There's a lot of thinking involved because, you know, kids might have their parents drop them off there and you have to kind of maybe know the senior or don't know the senior. It's a little involved, but I think with a little bit of thought, it might be something we can offer the seniors because I can do it now. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it in 20 years. And what are you doing? You know, you can't call it a union, this and that, for everything. You know, I'm willing to do somebody's gutters and all that. I don't want the payment. I don't want to say that. People are going to be calling. But I want somebody that wants to pay, you know, clean the gutters. And, you know, so not everybody has gutter guards. And everybody's full of leaves if you got any trees and all that. And, you know, a senior woman, you know, we have more senior women that are alive than senior men that have their wives pass away. You women are killing us, you know, and we all know that. But there's just a lot of different ideas on how you could gather ideas and you, Sagamore, others. It's a thought to have a committee meeting. We were talking, Mary's been talking about, do you committees want to meet? And I thought that'd be a unique way of thought. It's got to be done the right way. It's got to be thought out. It takes time. What do you think?
Well, we've had a thing where they wanted leaves. Great. That's another thing besides, you know, snow plowing and things like that. But I always look at the liability of everything.
Well, that would be John. John, is it something to get a legal waiver where somebody says, yes, I'm not going to go after you, and both the worker and the resident, I don't know if that, see, that's why this has got to be thought out. It's harder than I'm saying. I know that. But, you know, we could start off with John talking to you and your committee, can it be done? But I think it's something worth pursuing. Not that it's going to work, not that you get enough kids. You know, we have kids who go to Cuyahoga Heights on one bus, we got kids who go to Bedford on our other bus, and not that it's limiting to that, and there are adults that are willing to do it.
And there's one thing I always would say, what about your neighbor? Can they bring the can in for you or do something?
That would be
nice.
You know,
or they just ask the neighbor, there is a teenage son, and go to him and say, would you do this?
I mean, most of us would do that right now for any of our neighbors,
and
but others just don't. But there's a thought for a committee meeting, if it comes up with a lot more ideas. And I just came up with this today when I had the second person calling for help. I thought, wait a minute, there's a need. Because people want to stay in their homes, they don't want to go somewhere else. And it's hard when you get older, so there's a thought.
Thank you. Any other residents have anything before council? You want to yield to Mary Alice first, then, and you go second? Mary Alice, did you want to go?
Mary Alice Moran, 7500 Linda Lane. I just want to compliment you on that meeting with the mayor. I learned more in that meeting, it was really nice, and I liked the feel of the whole thing, everybody participated. And I learned so much from Tom Jordan, and I hope we can do that periodically. I know we can't do it all the time. But boy, it was really interesting. I was glad I attended, so that's all.
Good, thank you. I thought Tom Quinn did a great job from Dave Joyce's office and talked about just what Mr. Nowicki's talking about, a lot of programs that are available to the seniors. Or just, I thought, was interesting when he made a comment that, and this is important for anybody here, that if you are having maybe problems with Social Security or a visa or certain things, if you call him, and he left us his number, Tom Quinn, who's an assistant for our congressman for this district, that what they can do, at least take your, oh, you were there too, Karen, take your problem and at least put it to the top of the pile. And Ray, you were there, and I thought that was important because, as we know, sometimes you call a state or federal agency, it takes you 2 to 3 weeks. But he said they can, you know, expedite it to maybe 1 week or so on certain things, and I thought that was good too. And, I enjoy doing those, Mary Alice, because I think a lot of things really come out. It's a very lax and open. Sometimes it can get a little more depending on what topic it is. So we'll continue to do it. It's a great program the former administration started, and I'll continue to do it. So thank you. Anybody, did you want to go, Denver?
City Archives 7120. By the way, comments from the back that can be kept to yourself or brought up to the podium if you like. If you disagree with me, you're welcome to come up and say something, but I prefer you to do that rather than making comments behind my back. The opportunity to compromise with Olasinski has long since passed, and there's a history of this. I personally went over there with a good spirit because the man was a friend of mine for a long time from Maple Heights. We used to talk about wrestling. He was a state champion wrestler at Maple Heights. And I tried to work with him, and it didn't end up so well. There's actually a letter on file that he made a complaint about what happened between us. That's not the discussion right now. Brian knows about it, so do several other people. Everybody in administration knows about it, actually. Other people tried to compromise with him. I know that Mr. Whedon went over to have a talk with him, and that didn't go so well. There was no compromise on Mr. Olasinski's part. Isn't that correct? I know that Katie Iconis went over there to talk to him, and there was no compromise on his part. Is that correct? I went over there. I know that Councilman Spitznagel went over there to try to compromise him, and there was no compromise. Isn't that correct? The man is not willing to compromise with us. I don't think we should be willing to compromise with him. I think it's time to play hardball and not take any more crap from this guy. Thank you, Ray.
Just to add to that, I've had Mr. Olasinski in this office here. Okay, so I don't want you to exclude myself in this position. You have to understand something. That's why we're where we're at. Don't not make it clear that you're exactly right. You've tried. Everybody's tried, and so we're in the legal process, okay? And when you're in the legal process, you follow the legal process, and that's where we're at. I wish we could have compromised or it would have worked for me, because guess what? It's a lot cheaper. It costs this village nothing if we could just say, hey, We got ordinances, like 9 out of 10 of our businesses, they follow them, and you get some that don't, the 1%ers. So it's in the process. That process is the legal process, and that's where we're at. Don't want anybody to think we're not going any other route.
It's not that we haven't tried.
But it's not our decision, you know, it's the judge's decision, and that's the decision we have to follow. That's just how it is. We're doing our best to have them follow our ordinances and convince the judge that this is what we want done. That I can reassure you.
And I think that's the truth, and I'll tell you what, I got a lot of empathy for Fergus and Kelman, who out there doing their best to do their job. They see the violations, they write the citations, they do everything the way they're supposed to do, and this guy continues on and on and on and on. And he's not the only one, as you all well know.
And that's why we have it in the legal process. That's the next, thing after someone, after they go out there, we send a citation, we try to ask them to comply, and then when they don't comply, then we take the next action.
Okay. And then I have a question further, now that I think of it. He has this appeal over the parking lot. He's got until, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow or the next day to file his briefs. If he does not file those briefs, the case could be dismissed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But he already has filed it.
Oh, he did. Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't check on that. Okay, so now the process is we have to file a response to that, and then it goes on and on. Sort of. Okay, but that's correct, right? He did file those briefs.
That's right.
Stated earlier. Yeah.
That always happened. January 17th at 14:00.
Okay, right. Okay, good. Thank you all for your consideration.
Thank you. Yes, Justine.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Josephine Ward of 1785 Low Hebrew Road. This is going to be a subject many people are going to disagree with me on, but I'm going to go ahead and know. I was informed by a letter from the Metro Parks that they are again going to kill the deer in the park. They're stating that this is part of the long-term effort to reduce the deer population that is affecting vegetation and wildlife. Nothing was said about safety, so I assume they feel the deer are safe. Okay, vegetation. That's one of the issues. If they would manage the park properly, remove the dead trees, and also go in there and cull some of the trees, then they would have sunlight, so their so-called trillium vegetation could grow. As for wildlife, I live across from the park. Ever since the park started killing the deer, I see very few, if any, skunks, rabbit, and raccoons. The only thing that's safe are the squirrels, because they can climb the trees to get away from the coyotes. I had a coyote in my backyard. He was going to come at me because I tried to get him off a turkey. I understand that he also, one of the neighbors approached, the coyote approached the neighbor also. The park has been killing the deer since 1987. If private industry took that long to correct the supposed problem, they would fire the employees, but the park is paid with our tax dollars. Also, if you want to know what parks they will be killing the deer in, you have to go on a website. Well, what about the people who don't live on their computers and people like myself who don't even use a computer? When the park decided to kill the deer back in 1987, and we had public hearings, Dr. Dean McCullough from the White Buffalo, who makes a living, $250,000 to kill deer, said that this is not the way to do it, that we are going to have the fawns have twins and triplets. Population has not come down. They have not solved the problem. So he was right. 25 years later, we are still killing the deer. They give the meat to the hunger center. We do not know whether that meat is contaminated. And if you don't cook it right, you really don't want to eat it. The deers also get that brain-eating disease that will transfer to people. The park is buying more and more land, and it's adjacent across and next to residents. 3-1 high-powered rifles going off close to us. For those who want gun control and worry about people using guns as solving their problems, isn't the park's so-called solution a bad example and a form of encouraging this way of solving your problems? For safety's sake, let's not have our village being part of allowing more entities using guns instead of using alternative methods. I would like the park to, and I brought the subject up last year, I would like the park to inform the Metro Park, or like the council to inform the Metro Park that we have ordinance 678-09, use of firearms, and that they are violating it and accordingly have no exemption in the ordinance to discharge firearms on properties within our village. Accidents could be a responsibility of the village for allowing this. People are concerned about car deer collisions. I don't want to see anybody hurt or killed, but what about drunken drivers, texting drivers, distracted, exhausted drivers, and the 432 children hit by drivers not stopping at school buses? So I do not know what the process would be. I consider that this is as important and for safety of the village, even though nobody was hurt yet, it could happen. But this is giving a poor example to our young people, and people are concerned about all the killings that are going on that I think consideration should be given. They have no business discharging firearms within the boundaries of the village. If they can do it, then what about other residents? This is not really up for debate, it is up for consideration. And I'd appreciate you considering this, maybe at a committee meeting, or just whatever means you use. Thank you.
Thank you, Josephine. Thank you. Just to, I would, like you said, we won't debate. I know you called here and the chief looked up 6-6-1-8-1-2. The question, and this is something we can find out from very easily, and John can find it out tomorrow or the next day, is just like we found out when they put up that fence on Dunham Road, they went up and put up the fence on Dunham Road in an empty property that they owned, and it was within less than an hour, our building inspector noticed that, because it's right down the street from our garage. He went over there, jumped out and said, "Hey, where's your permit? We don't have no permit for this." The gentleman jumped out and he had a whole list of all his permits because they don't have to follow ordinance, the Metro Parks and the National Park. Unfortunately, they have their own permitting process. They were able to put up a fence taller than what our ordinance says. So we, even though we do have an ordinance which hunting is prohibited, we'll find out whether or not they're with, there's Trump size or not. So that's something we have to find out. So, but that's something we can find out very easy because it's either, it's the law, it's either the law or it isn't. So I'll look into that. I'll have the chief and Rob and our department look into that. As far as you talking about the deer, I was with a group of people, we met, I think, at the Holiday Inn or whatever, when he was there, and he talked about birth control for the deer. That's what that whole, there was a series. I know he went around to different communities, that expert. He was doing it. They did it in some states, I think. And you're right, here we are, because that was a few years ago. I did attend this. So, anybody else, any other residents have anything for council for this week? Okay. Let me get back. I was looking, I didn't make a copy of that discharging fire.
Just to clarify, those people, those sharpshooters, are not on Walton's property. They're in the Metro Park, is that correct?
Correct. They're just in the boundary of some of that property, in Walton Hills, the Metro Park.
But what's up against property within Walton Hills, is that what you're saying?
No, some of the property, some of it is, there, is in Walton Hills.
Yeah.
I mean, it's their property, but it's in our boundaries.
But, and Mayor, if I may, Brian, and they set up so that they're not ever shooting out of the park. I mean, it's all contained within the park, I would hope, right?
That's what, I guess that's.
Oh, yes.
Fire, the gunfire.
Well, we, let's find out where we're at with that on the legal end, and then we can always discuss it in the CFW meeting. After we find out some stuff, I can bring that to light in the next CFW meeting to share what we have found out. And go from there. Okay. Mayor's report. Okay. I got the police report for the month of December. The Walton Hills Police Department issued 137 citations in the month of December. Predominant violation was speeding with 24 citations written, followed by 14 citations written for driving under suspension and 6 citations for expired plates. There were 6 arrests for OBI. So that was kind of, that's always kind of disappointing. Last month, I think we had 0. When you get 0 for OBI, that's always a good thing. I did want to say something out of our mayor's meeting. Some of you were there, probably remember. You know, we talked, there's 137 citations, and this is what's great. One of our residents added up the ones I listed and said, well, what are the other ones? What the police department does, and what Nancy, our clerk of court, does, she just puts these are the top 3. So 24 was the most, 14 were the rest, and 6. And then there's a whole list of ones, the age that fall under there, and I'm not going to read them. There's like 30 to 40 different ones. So what we've been reading over the years on the report is just the predominant ones. If anybody wanted a copy of the other ones, I do have it here, but it's just, it's a lot of, well, here it is. There's probably 50 different ones, and most of them are one. It could be from turning at intersection, U-turns restricted, failed to lead a left, obstructed view, weaving, a short clear distance, speed, driving on your expired plates, and if our legislation goes through, you'll be seeing cell phone. So this is what, I think it was Ray Tinner that asked about that, and he thought about it and said, I'm listing 137, but then give the predominant ones, they're not adding up to that. So there's a lot, most of these are just single issue. Okay, so that is that. Here's our traffic court for the month of December, the court receipts. For the month of December, it was $21,441.54. For the year to date, it was $280,315.73. So year to date, we ended the year up almost $10,000. Well, $9,034.74 our court. So we were up $9,000 for the year. Okay. That's all I have for the mayor's report. Council comments. Okay, I think you talked about quite a few things. You're ready for legislation. Okay. Ordinance 2020-1. Jennifer?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to put Ordinance 2020-1 on first reading. An ordinance amending section 432-435 entitled Use of Mobile Telephone While Driving of the Codified Ordinances of the Village so as to make use of mobile phone while driving a primary offense and declaring an emergency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Brian Spitzenangle. Okay. We don't have to run.
All first provided to the doctor, that first reading is needed.
Right. Okay. Ordinance 2020-2.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce for suspension Ordinance 2020-2. and ordinance amending ordinance number 2019-20, making permanent appropriations for the current expenses and other expenditures of the Village of Walton Hills, State of Ohio, during the fiscal year beginning January 1st, 2020, and ending December 31st, 2020, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Second by Ben Lindell.
Councilperson Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Sweeten?
Yes.
Biznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for adoption of ordinance 2020-2.
Second.
Councilperson Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Sweeten?
Yes.
Biznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance passed. We have resolution 2020-1. Great. Mayor Krograth, the council, I'd like to introduce resolution 2020-1, for first reading, a resolution providing for the sale of personal property by internet auction with the terms and condition thereof in 2020 and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Okay, so that's for first reading. Item B, resolution 2020-2.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce resolution number 2020-2, the resolution reappointing Donald F. Sheehy as the village engineer, fixing the duties and compensation for said position, providing for other municipal engineering services for the village of Walton Hills, Hoosier Grimmie Valley Engineering Limited, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Second by Mary Brenner Miller.
Councilperson Chawaleski?
Yes.
Sweeten?
Yes.
Biznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for adoption of resolution number 2020-2.
Second.
Second by Mary Brenner.
Councilperson Sweeten?
Yes.
Biznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Chawaleski?
Okay. Resolution passed. E, resolution 2020-3. Mary?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for suspension. Resolution 2020-3, a resolution confirming the appointment of Carol Stanisek as the part-time community life recreation director for the Village of Walton Hills, Ohio, for the period beginning February 1st, 2020 through January 31st, 2021, and declaring an emergency.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Spitznagle.
Councilperson Spitznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Sweeten?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for the adoption of resolution 2020-3.
Second by Brian Spitznagle.
Councilperson Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Sweeten?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes. Okay, resolution passed. Resolution 2020-4. Brian?
Mayor, I'd like to introduce for suspension resolution 2020-4, a resolution confirming the appointment of Robert Kalman as street commissioner for the Village of Walton Hills, Ohio, for the period beginning February 1, 2020 through January 31, 2021, and declaring emergency.
Second.
Who's the draw? Jennifer.
That's right.
Jennifer Allen.
Councilperson Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Kowalski.
Yes.
Sweeten.
I had a question on the motion.
Okay.
When the we'll make sure we correct on the dates on this resolution. Well, yeah, that's, we had a date there wrong.
That's which day?
That's correct.
The dates are on.
Yeah, 2020.
Great. That's because Don Sheehy's is a little different, too.
Right. Yeah.
You got it. Good. That makes it easy.
Wheaton?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
No problem.
Mayor, I'd like to ask for adoption of resolution 2020-4.
Second.
Councilperson Allen?
Yes.
Yes. Wheaton?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Lindell?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Okay, resolution passed. Okay, we have any old business? I'll go real quick and then sure. Council members want to Wonderful. We did have the mayor's meeting. Tom Quinn from Dave Joyce's office was there, along with Tom Jordan, and various other members of our staff to answer questions. We had a good turnout, filled up all the chairs, came up between close to 40 people, 35, 40 people. I didn't count, I don't care, I'll keep the count. We have a sign-in sheet after the, we had a very good turnout. Some other members of council might have commented, some of us attended an economic development meeting last week. Any other council members want to comment on that? Okay, let's see, what else? And that's it for me with some old business. Any new business, or anybody has any old business, council?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
In regards to economic development and Tom Jordan, I do have a report from Tom Jordan, what's been going on, so I'd like to read this into the minutes, please. The economic development report for the Village of Walton Hills, 7010 Crick. The city acquired 7010 Crick Road through a tax foreclosure and now is in the village's land bank. The goal is to return the site to a developable condition for future growth in the industrial park. Tom has met with the neighboring owner, Valtress. They've expressed interest in the property for possible expansion. The land bank property was occupied by a plating company that worked with hazardous chemicals. The defunct company had entered into an agreement with the EPA to clean up their site. The former owner only performed some of the cleanup duties and was on notice of noncompliance at the time of foreclosure. The village hired Manick and Smith, an environmental consultant, to assess the current conditions and to reach an agreement with the EPA on the amount of the remaining cleanup activities to be performed. Manick and Smith has met with the EPA and now are in agreement on the scope of the remaining work to be performed. Tom has inquired with the EPA on funds to help cover costs of the ongoing costs of the environmental consultant and to perform the actual cleanup. Tom was also in contact with Matt Dennis at Manick on at least a weekly basis as this process has been moving forward. The building itself is not safe and also needs to be demolished. Tom's made inquiries from the county land bank for assistance with the demolition. He's going to be drafting a letter for the mayor's review and signature requesting assistance with the demolition for some of the asbestos testing that will need to be done as part of the demolition process and for the demo costs. The mayor is to speak with Congressman Joyce concerning this federal assistance. Smith and Obie requested to purchase the city land bank parcel at Northfield and Alexander Road, the current vacant lot that's there from across from the battery place. It was a former gas station site now owned by the village land bank. The mayor and Tom Jordan met with the owner to discuss the expansion. Since then, the mayor and Tom Jordan has been coordinating with outside counsel, the law director, and the engineer on the sale. The village wants to keep a portion of the parcel for right-of-way. The dedication plat was prepared by the village engineer, and Tom ordered an appraisal for the land, which is required for the sale of the land bank parcels. The village is currently drafting a sales agreement and considering offering tax abatement. The mayor will bring forward to council the details and recommendations on the terms when finalized. The Ford property, we've had some discussion about, but just to reiterate, Ford offered the property for sale over a year ago. They solicited a number of bids, narrowed down the list to a few candidates. Ford selected one purchaser and has entered into a purchase agreement. The agreement calls for extensive due diligence that has been ongoing over the last 6 months. Tom Jordan and the mayor have met with the prospective purchaser and Ford. They've had regular phone contact with Ford, as the mayor has said in the past, and related parties over the last few months. The village has signed a tight non-disclosure agreement with the purchaser. There is no further progress to report on this sale until it is finalized. In regards to the JED, The village coordinated the annual meeting that's required by state law for the JED. The mayor made its annual presentation of the village participation in the JED. Tom Jordan acts as chairman of the JED Board of Directors, and the mayor is elected as secretary treasurer. The state requires certain resolutions to be passed on an annual basis for the JED, and that a review of the budget prepared by the village fiscal officer be made. Tom is preparing the documents that are to be kept on file. The JED is scheduled to bring in over $300,000 in annual revenue for the village. The village is going to work on better signage for the NCC Center on Canal Road. The Canal Road directing up Sagamore Road for North Coast. Tom is also an active member of economic development associations and participates in their professional development events. He recently attended an Ed Now event, which myself and Councilman Whedon and Mayor Kolograf also attended last week. He's going to follow up on some of the initiatives from the event as directed. That's it from Tom Jordan, his office and what he's been doing.
Oh,
thank you. That was Tom.
Thank you.
Certainly.
In that report, Jennifer mentioned, or Tom, that to speak with Congressman Dave Joyce concerning federal assistance for the cleanup of that property. Mr. Joyce was in the office today on his way to Columbus, spent about 45 minutes here, and we did discuss that. So those things are, we're hoping you can help us with that. The EPA has been cooperative with helping us as far as assessing it and funding that, but now we would like, when it comes to the final cleanup, to get money for that. So we don't have to pay for it, we'd like to get assistance for that. So Mr. Joyce met here today to discuss many items, and that was one of them that we discussed.
Mr. Mayor,
yeah.
If I may also, at this Ed Now program that we went to about economic development last Thursday, there is a project called the PACE Projects, and this is to help businesses when they have outdated HVAC systems. And came to find out that Brickler and Eckler is commonly helps with these businesses, so I started talking to Tom and I asked him about the possibility of government being able to take advantage of this program where the money is assessed at a later date with property taxes, but we don't pay property taxes. And Tom said, aha, but there is a government program. It involves writing grants. It depends on the age of the HVAC system. We would have to have our system assessed. Our system is the original system. So Tom is going to start working on and looking into this grant program that we may be eligible for to get a deferred cost to get all of the HVAC at the Village Hall here replaced. He believes we should qualify since it's the original system.
Say,
yes.
Yes. Like that.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. Very good. Anybody else have any? New business. Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I have been talking to the mayor and mostly Brian, trying to organize a time when everyone can, we can all coordinate and have our candidates for the Planning Commission come and give about an 8-minute speech, whatever, tell us about themselves, go over their resumes. Well, we've been going back and forth. Brian's a pretty busy guy. I'm going to be out of town. So what we thought would be best is that the next COW meeting, which is that the 4th of February?
Yes.
Yes.
We are going to dedicate that to having the interviews and that we will have all the candidates. They will have to have all their resumes in. We will have had the opportunity to read through them, make our own observations, have them tell us at the interviews a little about themselves and why they think they're qualified.
We have three. And we received three.
Pardon me?
We received three resumes already.
Yes, right, right. We've received, well, I only got two.
Three. There was another one this afternoon.
Well, I'll talk to that.
Well, they're filtering in, and we will have them all well before then, and we will have the opportunity to meet. And so that was that's what we have decided, because everyone usually can make the COW meetings, and Brian does have that day off. So we thought that would work best, rather than having a separate individual meeting when Brian can't be there or I can't be there. So that's where we are right now. We're waiting for the rest of the resumes to come in, and the mayor's going to talk on that right now.
Right. Because I've said way more than I think we should agree. We're almost, I think we got everyone. One, okay. There were seven applicants, seven people that applied. One person had a resume with their letter of interest. The other six, we received. I think we're just waiting for one more. I'll have to see. And I've been sending them as we get them in the office here. But then as they're complete, I'm going to have Mary just send them out again to you. But I thought, as I've been receiving them, I've been sending them out to you, so that way it gives you more time instead of having to get them all at once. So I know I just sent one more this afternoon, yesterday. We received two yesterday. I sent those out right away. And then I'll have Mary compile. I guess what's important is to maybe get out of this meeting, if everybody agrees with that, and then Mary can send out an invitation for that February 4th meeting and to everybody, so that gives everybody time if they have to adjust their schedule or whatever. And if for some reason a person can't make it, because there are sometimes circumstances that doesn't allow that, then we would have to reschedule with them individually. One of the people that applied said next week wasn't possible. They were on vacation when they submitted their resume, and so that's what I know we talked, thought it would be good to give a little more time. It's only fair. And it gives everybody here, including myself, time to look at the resumes too. So if everybody's in agreement with that February 4th in the COW meeting, we put that together, and then Mary said maybe outline a few things for the applicants, which was the best, is that it would be 8 minutes
right
per
One or two questions, all have the same questions. So we can just, I mean, that was my thought. See how they answer.
That's up to you, and you can give those questions here. And it would, of course, those are public meetings, so anybody that wants to attend can attend. And what we would do, I want to make this clear, I would have Mary or Lisa, the office staff, put everybody's name in a hat and then just pick out of that, and they would pick the order, you know, first, second, third, and just, you know, the old fair way to do it, I would just have the office staff do that, and, you know, and then we can always give you time, too. Maybe somebody can't get here right at that time, you can always switch. So we want everybody to have an opportunity. We certainly don't want to not give everybody an opportunity. So, how does up to council, you guys feel comfortable with that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll put it on the agenda. I'll have the office will put out a letter. Mary put out a letter to everybody with the time. Did you want that to mail out those questions, or are you going to ask them those same questions at the time, or are you going to leave it? I don't know how. This letter just needs to say that they're going to be coming in for an interview on Tuesday, the evening before. Okay. All right. Sounds good. And then, like I said, I know everybody, as I've been receiving those, I've been sending them out so everybody would have more time, but we'll also put them together too, so you'll have an email. And we can make hard copies too and put in everybody's box, just in case. I know sometimes it's hard to get your emails or whatever. I'll have Mary also put a hard copy in everyone's box, or at least in that way you can grab a hard copy. Okay? Appreciate that. So other new business, of course, we have a COW meeting the 4th, and then another COW meeting in February, the following Tuesday. All right.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I just have just some information with Josephine. As far as coyotes go, okay, we consider them vermin now, okay? And I believe it was Chief Bellman was out with his granddaughter and he was walking, and they had a little dog, and the little dog ran over the hill and started yapping in that. And so they ran over there and the coyote had gotten hold of the little dog, but then the coyote went after the little girl.
Oh, yeah.
And she shot the coyote, but I caution you, don't mess with them. I mean, you know, they're very prevalent now, and they're getting used to people. And people are feeding the deer, so to speak, or some other animal, and it's a coyote that's eating it, you know, so I would be cautious, you know, confronting them.
Right.
I'll put my money on Josephine.
Yeah.
Can I have a motion for adjournment?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the council meeting of January 21st, 2020.
Second.
Second by Daniel, sorry.
Councilperson Terlowski?
Yes.
Whedon?
Yes.
Chris Nagel?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Hannah Miller?
Yes.
Anna?
Yes.
Council meeting adjourned at 8:10 on January 21st, 2020. Thank you, everybody.